He likes worshiping Christians. Come on, somebody. When you don't feel like it, he likes people who worship him regardless of how you feel. Come on, somebody. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Amen. God bless all of you sweet people. Thank you for being in God's house. You can be seated. I do apologize that it's this warm, but I want you to know that we are working on the AC units, and we are trying to get 20 more tons of AC. But as we have tried to do that, what's called the ducking work that actually funnels the air out here, they're having a hard time finding even that. They looked all the way going to Houston. And so due to COVID, a lot of the, you know, pipeline of things has stopped. And so y'all just bear with us, all right? Just say, thank you, Lord. I'm not in the old Brush Arbor days. Amen. Thank God for that. I know y'all old timers talk about the good old days. Well, you can keep them. I'm thankful for power steering and air conditioning. I'm thankful for lights and electricity. And hey, I'm so old, y'all, I can remember an outhouse at our church. I'm thankful we don't have outhouses anymore. Come on, somebody. Some of you older ones, some of you younger ones, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. They're like, okay, I'm going to school you on it. An outhouse is where you had to go use the bathroom in a little old bitty 3x3 shack. Yeah, with no vent hood and no electricity. And it's called nasty. And I'm thankful that we're beyond that. Thank the Lord. Come on, somebody. Yeah, aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? Amen. Amen. Well, I want to just introduce you to someone. I've got a long history with who I'm fixing to introduce you to. This is Brother and Sister Stanley. They have pastored in Dallas for over 43 years, and now they've moved on into semi-retirement. Semi-retirement. They're still preaching, and I hope Brother Stanley don't mind me telling this, but he's 76, and he's still preaching like a house on fire. I'm telling you, the man's a fireball. They built a great church in Dallas, and their son, Shannon Stanley, has taken that over, Shannon and Charity. And so here's how I met the Stanleys. When my dad and mom and I and my sister moved to Cleveland, that's where Sister Stanley grew up. She grew up in Cleveland. She had a brother named Douglas Holly and a sister named Gail Holly. And Gail, her sister, was our organist, and she could flat out eat up the organ, like Black style eat it up. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's where we met them, and I met Shannon, her son, and her daughter, Cindy, probably when I was around 11 years of age, and we've been lifelong friends. In fact, Shannon and I talk probably once a week, once every 2 weeks. And now he pastors that church, and Sister Cindy, their daughter, is now the pastor's wife at Living Way. She's married to Brent Kidding, so her and Brent pastor the church in Living Way. So this man of God has two brothers, one that was in our church, Joe Stanley, and now Joe pastors in Lufkin, Texas. And then he had an older brother, Bill, was it right? Billy. And he pastored in Beaumont, Texas. So I've known the Stanleys. I knew their father. Brother Stanley's father, I'll never forget. My dad had him come and preach in Cleveland. And he was probably 92. And his hands shook literally like this. I ain't joking. But he was like, there's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. And at 92, I ain't exaggerating. Am I, sister? I'm not. It's like this. But he was still preaching that route. What? Am I 92? Yeah. Yeah. He died at 94. So he came and still preached. And I'm like, Lord, help me. I would love to have my right mind and still be, wouldn't that just be awesome? So he comes from a long lineage of wonderful family. And so, Brother and Sister Stanley, we're glad to have you tonight. Would you give the Stanleys a big hand? We're excited to have them. Yes, she is your first cousin. That's right. And y'all got some family buried out at Fields. And y'all have a family reunion every year and go dust off and clean the graves and eat whatever y'all eat, but I know a little bit. Yeah, I know a little bit. I just know a little bit, not much, but I know a little bit. But we're happy to have the Stanleys. Thank y'all for being here tonight. And you're going to be blessed and enriched by the word of the Lord. I told Brother Stanley, I said, man, take that tie off. I don't ever preach with a tie. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, you too old school. Come on, get up here and take that tie off. It's hot in here. So he'll be all right. He may feel half naked, but you'll be all right. You're going to still do it. You're going to still do it. He obeyed the pastor. That's right. You're still going to do a good job. Well, can y'all believe it? 106 camp meeting is coming up. We've been having camp meetings around here for 106 years in Louisiana. That's amazing. And so that's going to be July the 6th through the 9th. And a few of the speakers are going to be Brother Jerry Jones, Chris Green, Paul Palmer, Nathan Herod, and Rima Duncan. Some wonderful men. Know most of them. Great men, you're going to be blessed. Also, Mother's Memorial. You say, what is that for all of our new ones? That's where we give $100 to Mother's Memorial, and that money goes to sponsor our missionaries, buying washing machines, dishwashers, cars, all kinds of appliances and items that they need to make their life a little easier while they are missionaries. So don't forget that. Here's the next one. Visit with Brother Robert Gamble. He's been a longtime member of this assembly, and now he is in the, care center. Thank you. He's in the care center, and we're just going to come alongside him and shower him with some cards and just let him know that he's still loved, because that's what a family does. Amen. And so just remember that. Father's Day, how many saw the nice gifts out there? Those are nice, aren't they? We like to be first class, right, around TPC. So we're giving some first class gifts. So all of you fathers 18 and up, you're going to get a ticket Sunday. And I hope that you win one of those great gifts. Love to have you here for Father's Day. Our prayer requests, don't forget Sister Hennigan, Sister Billie Jean Brown, Kyla, Lester, Neil, McGee, Katie. Don't forget Katie. And then Sister Doris Spikes and Marilyn Whitman. If you will, just remember them. We're going to give all of us a wonderful opportunity to give tonight. This is not a, it's not a debt that we owe. It's a seed that we sow, right? We're not here as beggars. We're believers. And we thank God for His provisions. Amen. And it's good to see some of my friends, longtime friends, we probably hadn't seen each other in 25 years, from Cleveland, that came in. So I'm just thankful. I told somebody tonight, I said, I'm just so thankful I didn't mess up so bad that all of my friends from Cleveland no longer love me. And so I knew, yeah, I love you, love you. And met your sweet husband, and they drive a truck, and they thought enough of us to come and be in service with us tonight. And my dad and I had the privilege of pastoring she and her mom, and now she's married, and I met her husband. So happy to have y'all. Thank you for being here. God's good, isn't he? If our ushers would come, we're going to give you a wonderful chance to give, and let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you for the blessings of the Lord. We know we don't deserve it, but we thank you that you didn't give us what we deserve. Thank you for the grace and the mercy. Thank you that we have something to give, because we know there's literally millions around the world that have nothing. And thank you for your blessings. Father, every name that we called, you know their need. You know where they are. And you know what they have need of. And we ask you to strengthen, encourage, and bless in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you again. Oh, Can we stand together tonight? I do appreciate Brother and Sister Stanley, their walk, their legacy, their love. They have loved me all of my life. They pretty much know me all of my life. And they are just people of integrity and wonderful, wonderful man of God. And after this service is over, if they feel up to it, I'm going to take them out to eat and pick their brain, because they've been pastoring for a long time. And they've learned a few things. And you either learn by mistakes or mentors. And it's better to learn by mentors if you'll listen. You can save yourself a lot of heartache. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Just an update on my wife. So she is back home, but she's not home. She's in Tioga with the kids. So, you know, this is camp, and we've got campers gone, and we got people on vacation, but I'm glad all of you are here, and I look forward to the word of the Lord, and I look forward to this Sunday. I'm still feasting off of last week because we baptized 4 in the lovely name of Jesus on Sunday. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I'm pumped about that. I'm excited. Without any further ado, Brother Stanley, would you come? You're going to come and you're going to get to preach to some of the sweetest people in all of Louisiana, my brother, right here. Would you welcome Brother and Sister Stanley tonight? We're honored to have them. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Nealon, and everybody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, no place like God's house. You may be seated for just a moment. So good to be here. Thank you, Brother Nealon, for allowing us to come. And we happen to be down in Lake Charles visiting our baby. And we just felt led to call him and say, I'm going to be in the area. And so he let me come tonight. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate that so much. And it's great to be in church. And my wife, all of her folks are from Fields, Louisiana, and Starks, Louisiana. How many knows where that is? Does anybody know where that is? Amen. I didn't know much where it was till I married my wife. But she's with me tonight, and I give honor to her. She is the best thing that ever happened to me besides the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you. And so it's so good to have her with me tonight. And we pastor, of course, in Dallas for 43 years. Now we are the bishop. My son is the pastor. Amen. And he and Brother Nealon are very close friends. And somebody asked me the other day, what is a bishop? I know what the dictionary definition is, but I want to give you my definition of what a bishop is. A bishop is an honorary title with no responsibilities. I feel light as a feather tonight. All that load has been shifted on my son. Amen. That's right. Had a pastor tell me one time I'd like this pastoring business if it wasn't for people. I said, I hate to tell you, you're in the people business. Amen. And it wasn't that he didn't love people. What he was telling me was it's such a stressful position to have all the problems of all the people that he has to deal with all the time. And he was a great pastor, so it wasn't that he didn't love people. He just said, it's so stressful. Amen. But it's wonderful to be here with you in this Wednesday evening service. Jesus is in this house. I said, Jesus is in the... I knew he's going to be here when I came, because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. What a promise. I said, what a promise that Jesus is here. And if you come here tonight with a need in your life, you've come to the right place. Amen. This is a healing station. This is a soul-saving station. Amen. I drove up to a big apostolic church in Mississippi, preached there. And as I drove into the parking lot, there was a huge sign that's in boxcar letters across the front of that beautiful Ephesus, and it said, you belong here. And that really got grabbed my heart. And I don't know who's a guest and who's not a guest, but if you are a guest here tonight, you belong here. Amen. You belong here. This is where you belong. Praise the Lord. And Brother Nealon tells me y'all usually get out at 8 o'clock around here on Wednesday night. And it's hard for me to get started less than 30 minutes, but I'm going to try to do it. Praise God. Don't get nervous. He told me that so I wouldn't go too long. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thanks, the Lord. So I'm going to get right into the word of the Lord tonight. And we're going to stand together in the honor and the reading of the word tonight. And I honor your pastor and his beautiful family. What an awesome pastor y'all have. They don't come any finer than the Nealons. That's right. Praise the Lord. And my son is of the younger generation. He never takes his coat off. I don't know about whether he does. Yeah, he took it off tonight. Amen. But I just got to get loose. I can't have nothing binding me down. Amen. Luke chapter 18, if you have a Bible, we go to the book of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, a very familiar passage of scripture concerning the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Everybody say, two men went to church. These two men were in the same prayer meeting, in the same temple together. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, when I read verses 11 and 12, I recognize immediately that this man has a disease. It is a disease that I call I-itis. He is stuck on himself. It's all about I. Have y'all noticed that? I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this public. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Let me say this right here, that if you ever expect to receive anything from God, you have to empty yourself of yourself. I said, you've got to empty yourself of, you can't be full of yourself and be full of God at the same time. Amen. And this is why this man left the same way he came in there. He received not one spiritual touch in that prayer meeting. But the other man, oh, I like the little publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto the heavens, but smote upon his breast, said, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. In other words, God, I am nothing. I am empty without you. I've got to have you more than anything else in my life. I need you, God. I need you. I say, God, give me the spirit of the little publican that when I walk through those doors, I'm here, God, needing something from you. Amen. Somebody says, I don't need anything. Well, one thing you do need is the Lord to help you with your self-righteousness. Amen. But I want to tell you, I have been in the church all of my life, but I need him every time I walk through those doors. I need something from God. I didn't come here to just take up space tonight. I didn't come here because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I came here because I want the presence of God to minister to me and touch my life. Hallelujah. If you don't need anything else tonight, you need a blessing. How many could stand a blessing from the Lord? Oh, bless his name. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Bible says the publican went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. Why? Because this publican recognized that he needed God. I preach to you tonight on this subject: blessed or cheated in church. Every time you walk through those doors on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, you're either going to be blessed or you're going to leave cheated. Amen. I've made up in my mind that when I come to church, I want God to bless me. Amen. I don't want to be cheated. I said, I don't. The Holy Ghost baptizer is here. The healer is here. The burden bearer is here. The Almighty God's walking these aisles. He's looking to bless and to touch somebody. And if you walk out those doors without being touched by God, it's your fault. Said it's your fault. Because I come tonight. I want y'all to know something. I come tonight to one or two things are going to happen before I walk out those doors. You want me to tell you what they are? God's going to touch me before I leave tonight. And if he doesn't hurry up and touch me, I'm going to touch him. Somebody says, I went to church and God didn't touch me. Well, what did you do? Amen. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Reach out and touch him. He's walking by your pew right now. He's moving down these aisles right now. Go ahead and touch him. And if you touch him, virtue will flow. Come on, clap your hands and pray for the poor preacher to preach tonight. God, let the anointing flow. Let the Holy Ghost have control. In Jesus' name, anoint and touch. And everyone say amen. Thank God. You may be seated. By the way of introducing this subject tonight, how many has ever felt cheated in life? Well, maybe you got a raw deal. Maybe you were shortchanged. Maybe it did not come up to your expectations. I've been cheated in a lot of things in life. I've been to Branson to some of those deals up there and walked out and said I didn't get my money's worth. I felt like I've been cheated. Amen. And I want to tell you something, friend. Nobody likes to be cheated. Those are fighting words. No one likes a cheater. Before you found Jesus, you'd probably get up in somebody's grill if you thought they deliberately cheated you. Amen. Most of the time, we feel like it is others that cheat us. However, oftentimes, it is our fault. We cheat ourselves. And the greatest cheaters in all the world are those who cheat themselves. Such was the case in our text today, where two men went to the same church, the same location, the same prayer meeting, two men in the same service. One man left blessed, one man left touched and changed and justified. But I dare to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Pharisee left empty. He left with nothing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was there to minister to him, but he did not receive one thing out of that service. Amen. Why? Because their attitude made the difference. One man was hungry. One man was empty. One man knew he needed something from God, but the other man felt no need of anything. I'm full. I'm satisfied. I've got it made. I don't need anything. And as a result of that, that man walked out cheated. Amen. Luke chapter 1, if the overhead people would help me in scripture. Scriptures tonight. Luke chapter 1 and verse 53 says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. That is a very simple scripture, but yet it is powerful. He's filled the hungry with good things. Did anybody come hungry tonight? Is anybody thirsty tonight? Does anybody want a touch from God? Do you need anything from the Lord? Amen. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What a promise to all of us that are here tonight that are hungry and we're thirsting after God. He said, if I can find the hungry, if I can find the thirsty, I will fill you. I will bless you. I will touch you. Amen. But he said, on the other hand, the rich, he said, I'm going to send the rich empty away. The rich will not receive anything from me. Why? Because the rich man depends upon his material wealth. He depends upon his monetary existence. That I don't need God. I've got my money. I've got my wealth. I've got houses and lands and riches and properties. I don't need anything from God. And God said, I can't deal with that spirit. I can't deal with that attitude. If you walk in this building tonight with a feeling that everything's okay and I don't need anything from God, you won't leave here disappointed, because you won't get anything from God. But if God said, I could find the hungry, if I could find the hungry, if I could find the thirsty, if I could find somebody that needs me, hallelujah, brother, I will bless that person, brother. But I want to tell you what, you can walk out of this building, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and walk in these aisles. The healer is here. If you walk out and you're not healed today, if you walk out without your miracle today, I feel like you've probably been cheated, because Jesus is ready to heal you. He's ready to give you a miracle. He's ready to touch your life. Oh, yes, he is. He's ready to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you're here without the Holy Ghost, this would be a good night to get it. Oh, this is just Wednesday night, preacher. We don't, if nobody gets the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, the God of Sunday is the God of Wednesday. It don't have to be a Sunday. Amen. But he walks these aisles. He's filled the hungry with good things. And he sent the rich empty away. Let me remind you that you're sitting in the greatest place in all the world this morning or this evening. It's the house of God. I think it was Jacob that was fleeting from Esau, and he lit upon a certain place, and he was tired, and he took some stones and he built a pillow and he went to sleep. But while he slept, the angels of God began to descend from heaven on a ladder, and they descended and ascended, and the voice of God came from above the ladder and spoke the promises to Jacob, that thy seed shall be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heaven. I will be with you and I will go with you. Oh, what a promise. And the Bible says that Jacob awaked himself out of his sleep, and these were the words in his head: surely the Lord's in this place, and I knew it not. I knew it not. Have you ever thought about that statement that he made? Surely God's here and I didn't know it. I got to thinking, the reason you didn't know it, you joker, is because you've been asleep. You need to wake up. Jesus is in the house. We got too many Pentecostals sleeping on our pews. They don't even know God's in this place tonight. Amen. But I hope that God can shake you. I hope that God can touch you. I hope you can recognize that Jesus is in the house. I said Jesus is in the house. Somebody say, oh, preacher, we know Jesus is in the house. Well, why don't you act like you know he's in the house? Hallelujah. Brother, he's in the house. We need people to get excited about Jesus. We need a people, my friend, that can clap their hands and run the aisles and shout and talk in tongues, because Jesus is in the house. Oh, shake yourself. Wake up. Jesus is here. I've seen people come in the doors and sit on the pew in a red hot service. Holy Ghost power flowing, the Spirit of God moving, and sit there like a knot on a dill pickle and walk out. Amen. And never receive anything from God. Let me tell you what's wrong with those people. They're spiritually asleep. You need to shake yourself and realize that you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Oh, the one that created the heavens and the earth. The one that flung the world into existence and said, let there be. He's here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The deliverer is here. The healer is here. The Holy Ghost baptizer is here. And if you leave without receiving anything from God, you've been cheated.
Cheated
at church.
Been cheated. Come on.
Cheated at church.
Cheated at church.
My God, cheated at church. I don't want to be cheated at church.
No, amen.
Oh, no, no, no. Amen. And you know what Jacob did when he realized God was in that place? He said, let's build an altar. Let's put these stones that I had for my pillow. I'm going to build a monument to God. And then he said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to call it Bethel. Hey, Jacob, why are you calling it Bethel? Because this is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. Amen. Welcome to Bethel, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Bethel. I said, welcome to Bethel. This is none other than the house of God you're in. Wow. And I'm excited about it. Jesus is here. Amen. His mission statement. How many remembers that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth? Amen. He gave us the mission statement in Luke chapter 4. The media people can help me again. Luke chapter 4, Jesus gives a mission statement. And every church ought to have a mission statement. What is a mission statement? A mission statement is the reason you exist. Why are we here? Hey, Pentecostal Church of De Quincy, why are you here? Amen. Do you understand your mission? Do you understand why you exist? Amen. Jesus, when he walked upon this earth for 33 and a half years, he gave us a mission statement. That mission statement is found in Luke chapter 4. So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I like that part, don't y'all? As his custom was, he believed in going to church.
He believed in going to church.
I met some people now, they don't believe in going to church. Amen. Especially during the pandemic, man. I ain't seen some of them in over a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Amen. You can see them at Walmart, but the church is the hot spot. Amen. Oh, my God. Oh, I tell you what. I felt the Holy Ghost in that. Oh, yes, sir. I told our church, and I didn't get permission to say this, but I'm going to say it in the Holy Ghost. I told our church back in Dallas, I said, if you quarantine yourself from church, you better quarantine yourself from all other activities of life. Amen. My God. Brother, don't quarantine yourself from the house of God. Amen. I know we had to shut down for a while. We had to have online church and all that. But it ain't nothing compared to coming together into the children of God. Amen. And singing and worship. There's no place like this place. There's no God like our God. There's no pastor like you, God. This is an awesome place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, brother. He went to church on the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue and stood up to read on. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Ladies and gentlemen, over 2,000 years ago, he gave us the mission statement of why he came. This is his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovering the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you tonight, if that was his mission statement over 2,000 years ago, that is still his mission statement today. That's still his mission. He's here. He's here to heal the brokenhearted. He's here to set the captive free. He's here to bring healing to those that are sick. He's here to bring deliverance and to bless those that have been bruised tonight. That's his mission statement. He's here. He hasn't changed. Aren't you glad? Glory. Aren't you glad? Excited about, because Jesus is here and his mission is to do what he said he would do. Then he'll do it tonight. my God, I gotta hurry. Amen. Oh, brother, he walks these aisles to minister to every need in this building. I got good news to bring. Jesus is in the house. The miracle worker is in the house. The divine healer is in the house. The Holy Ghost baptizer is in the house. Don't leave cheated. Don't leave cheated. Don't leave cheated. Don't leave cheated. The supplier of every need is here tonight. The master of every situation, he'll come and he'll storm your life. But you know what? I've had people come to my church and sit on their fifth vertebrae. Amen. I was looking for a chair. And sat down and say, Lord, here I am. What a privilege it is for you to have me in church tonight, God. Amen. And God, I'm waiting on you to touch me. Just touch me, Lord. Here I am. I come to church. I put on my Sunday best. I brush my teeth and hopefully I put on cologne. Amen. And here I am, my God.
Yep. That's right.
And they sat there waiting on God to touch them. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's not even scriptural. Honey, he's done went to Calvary over 2,000 years ago. He's done shed his blood on the cross for your salvation. The stripes were laid on his back for your healing. It's your turn. The ball's in your court. It's time for you to make the basket. It's time for you to do something besides sit there. It's time for you to respond to the glory and the power of God that's moving in this sanctuary. It's don't just sit there. You've got to respond to the presence of God. Oh. You want me to tell you why you're not waiting on God? Because the Bible says, you ask and you shall receive. You seek and you shall find. You knock and it shall be open unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that knocketh, it open. And everyone that seeketh, find. Hallelujah.
That's what the word
says. Sounds to me like I need to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Draw nigh to God and he will what?
Draw nigh to you. That's right.
That seemed to me like he's just waiting for me.
Yeah.
If you'll take one step toward him, he'll take two toward you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. See, God rewards efforts. Everybody say God rewards effort. That's right. If you're going to pay the tax money, somebody's got to go catch the fish with a golden coin.
Right.
Huh? Amen. If you're going to get wine at the marriage supper after they run out, and Mary went to Jesus and said, they have no wine. And Jesus said, what's that to me? Mm-hmm. Not in those words, but that's what he meant. He said, my hour has not yet come, woman.
Right.
You're getting ahead of time.
Right.
Nobody knows who I really am.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, but I want you to know, she didn't say a word. She just turned around and said, whatsoever he saith, do it. Nobody else, now this is Mary thinking, okay? Nobody else may know who you are, Jesus, but I know who your daddy is. I know who your father is. Oh, yes, sir. Amen. I've got the revelation. And because I know who he is, I can go to him in the time of trouble. I can go to him in the time of need. I can go to him in the time of sickness and call upon his name. Because you apostolic Jesus name, one God tongue talking people, you know who he is. You've got the revelation.
Yes, yes.
You've got the revelation. You've got the revelation. Why she went to him the first time. Mm-hmm. Because she knew who his daddy was.
I like that.
Hey, you Jesus name one God tongue talkers, you know who he is. He come up.
Yes.
Do whatever he says do. Mm-hmm. You know what he told him to do? Go fill the water pots with wine, water. Pardon me, not wine yet. Go fill the water pots with water. Amen. How many believes that he was God manifested in the flesh? How many believes that all things are possible for him? How many believes that where the word of the king is, there's power? How many believes he could have spoke the word and said, water pots, be thou filled with wine, and they would have been filled with wine? Amen. But he don't operate like that. You do what you can do, and I'll do what you can't do. You do what's possible, I'll do what's impossible. Hallelujah. I said, you do what's possible, I'll do what you can't do. I'll do the impossible. Amen. Brother, he could have commanded the water pots to be filled with wine. They would have been filled with wine. But brother, he don't operate like that. He says, you do something and I will do what you can't do. You can fill the water pots with wine. You cannot, or with water. You can't turn them into wine, but I can do that. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I'm walking the aisles of the first church of De Quincy tonight. I'm waiting on somebody to respond. I'm waiting on somebody to reach out to me. Amen. If somebody needs a miracle, I'm ready to give you a miracle. If somebody needs healing, I'm ready to give you a healing. If somebody's in a financial problem, I'm ready to help your finances. Whatever your sickness is, whatever your problem is, amen, God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you. Oh, I'm waiting on God. Well, sit there till your hair over. It won't happen.
Come on.
That's old school. Can you? I'm telling you, God's just waiting on you. If the walls of Jericho are going to fall flat, what you got to do? He could have said, walls fall flat, they would have fallen flat. No, you get out there and march one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day you march seven times, and then you shout, and then the walls will come down. Hallelujah. I said, then the walls will come down. Oh, I'm going to tell somebody right now, amen, if you're going to receive your miracle, you're going to have to do something besides sitting there. Amen. If they're going to catch fish, somebody's got to drop the nets. Naaman, if you're going to be healed of your leprosy, go dip seven times in the Jordan River. God rewards effort. Well, I went to church and nothing happened. Just as I expected. Well, at least you're not leaving disappointed. You got what you expected. Give me Jeremiah chapter 11 right quick. I think it's chapter 11. It may be some, that scripture in Jeremiah where it's at. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. The King James Version says to give you an expected end. Whatever you expect, whatever you're looking for, whatever you believe in God for, somebody here tonight needs a touch of the Holy Ghost. You need God to minister to you in a special way. I feel that in the spirit right now. Amen. Brother, you can walk out with that need being not met, and you can walk out here cheated tonight. But if you'll make up your mind, I'm going to come up to this front. Amen. And that pastor Neyland and some of the ministry is going to minister to me right tonight, and God's going to do it as they begin to come to the instrument, maybe play a little music here tonight. Amen. If you're going to receive your miracle, you're going to have to respond. You'll have to do something. I can preach for 30 minutes and you can walk out without nothing, but I can preach for 30 minutes and if you'll respond. The Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door. Amen. If any man, tonight God's knocking. He If I ever felt Holy Ghost knocking at somebody's door right now. Amen. Preacher, I don't need anything. Yes, you do need something. Hell is trying to make you think you don't need anything. You need God more than you need anything else. Amen. But he said, if any man will hear my voice. I don't intend, and I don't ever want anybody to think that I'm God. I'm not God. I'm only a vessel. I'm only an instrument. I'm only a God anointed chosen man. That's all I am. But God has anointed me and chosen me to bring his word to you. For the last 25 or about 25 minutes now, 28 minutes, you've been hearing the word of God. That's God's voice tonight. I said, that's God's voice tonight. For 30 minutes, you've been hearing God's voice through the word. Amen. That's right. I'm the instrument. I'm the conduit. I'm the mailman. I just brought his mail to you tonight. Amen. But I want to tell you something. If any man will hear my voice, what's the next thing that you need to do after you hear preaching? You need to open the door. Open the door. Don't just let him sit there and knock and you don't open the door. I want to come into you and I want to fellowship with you and sup with you and you with me and me with you. I want you to feel my presence. I want to minister to every need in your life. Open the door. Don't walk out cheated. I want to bless you. I want to touch you tonight. Don't leave here cheated. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in. What do we mean by open the door? That means I'm fixing to respond, preacher, to the voice of the word tonight as we stand all over this auditorium. Amen. I'm going to respond to the voice of the word tonight. I don't know who I've been preaching to tonight. I've given you what God laid on my heart. Amen. But if there's anybody in this building, you need something from God. Don't mean you're backslid. It don't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Or if you do not have the Holy Ghost, feel free to come. We want you to come. God will fill you tonight. Amen. But if you really need touch from the Lord, I want you to just step right where you are. I want you to open the door. If you'll open the door, if you'll respond and just come and stand up here tonight. Amen. I'd like for maybe the whole church come. Just close this service with all of us coming tonight. Amen. And say, God, I need you. I need your help. I need you, God. I want you to minister to my need here tonight. Hey, if you've got a need, come on up here right now. The supplier of your needs are here tonight. I said the supplier of your need is here tonight. Hallelujah. Come on right now. Everybody all over the auditorium. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Come on. I want some publicans to pray here tonight. I want the spirit of the publican to say, God, touch me tonight. God, I need a blessing from you tonight. Oh, I need a blessing from you tonight, God. Come on, would you pray right now? Come on, would you reach out right now? Open that door. Open that door. Oh. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I'm responding. God, I'm responding. In the name of Jesus Christ, be thou made whole. Be thou made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ right now. In the name of Jesus Christ right now. Lord, touch of Lord. Come on, church, pray. Come on, let's just pray for one another right now. Pray for one another. Come on, church, the Holy Ghost is here. The presence of God is ministering in this sanctuary tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Some of you saints, pray with one another. Lay your hands on one another. Pray with one another. Come on, that's it. Pray with one another. Oh, on, pray with somebody. Come on, pray with somebody right now. Pray with somebody right now. In the name of Jesus. I'm not leaving cheated. I'm not going to walk out here cheated tonight. I'm not going to walk out here cheated tonight. Supplier of every need is here right now. I said the supplier of every need is in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be thou made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it happen right now. Let it happen right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, church, and let's magnify Jesus in this house. Come on, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited about Jesus being here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed or cheated in church. If you walk out here the same way you come in here, you've been cheated.
I wanted to make sure he was done, because if he's not done, I'll stay. That's some good preaching.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Woo! Come on. Yeah. You know what? That's inspiring. For some of you that are 50 and you're acting like you're 70, this man's 76 and he's acting like he's 50. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I told you he was a fireball. Now you believe me. You're like, oh, he's 76. He ain't got no fire. Yes, he does. He's been this way all of his life. Yeah, I want y'all hitting that the truth, Sister June. He's been this way all of his life. He didn't put on no show for y'all. This is just who he is. This is who he is. He loves God. He loves God's people. He loves God's word. Pastor Stanley, you and Sister Stanley, thank y'all for being with us tonight. Hey, what about having them back sometime? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah, be all right. Well, tell Brother and Sister Stanley how much you appreciate them. And then guess what? These are role models. Seriously, these are role models to say, you know what? At 76, I don't have to be, you know, an old fuddy-dud. I can still worship and be excited about God and his people. You ought to look to people like that as inspiration. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this precious couple of faith. Lord, I pray a blessing. They have blessed us. Now we pray a blessing upon Brother and Sister Stanley. In the name of the Lord, and every church they walk into, God, give them a word for that assembly, Lord. Let them see, oh God, let this be the greatest days of their ministry, with signs and miracles and wonders following and confirming the word and people receiving what they need from heaven's throne. We thank you for it. Now, God, give us all a good night's rest. Put us at the right place at the right time so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Turn around and show yourself friendly. Amen. Whatever you want, give it away. If you want love, give it away. If you want a kind word, give it away. Thank you for being in God's house tonight. Let Brother and Sister Stanley know how much.